This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Good morning, Bill Ryder with you. Good to be back in L.A. Last 3 days, we're walking through Tribeca as families took their children to school. Today was the gentleman in the Honda Accord smoking something that used to be illegal and playing Creedence so loud it woke up neighborhoods that were blocks away. Good to be back in L.A. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We got a phone number for you, and we have it because we want you to use it. We even made it toll-free. It's yours. Call in. Let your voice be part of the show. 855-212-4CBS. 6 hours on an airplane is a long time. But if you're dumb like me, if you have to go to a goodbye party for a buddy right when you land, and there's going to be some drinking involved and you're exhausted, you don't nap, you survey the films. And I've got one, you know, relatively new movie in the last year that we're going to get into later in the show. And I've got an all-time great that holds up. Added bonus, I see the actor around town all the time. A little movie talk later in the program, in which I won't be able to talk to Tom DiBenedetto or Andrew Bogus because I love the guys, but I don't think I've worked with a single person at CBS Sports Radio who watches movies ever. What's a movie? It's a cool thing. They film it, and it's like an hour to 2 hours, and there's a story. It's a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's really neat. You should check it out. Again, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. I want to do this in an hour. We talk on a regular basis. I talk on a regular basis about the NBA, its play-in tournament, some of the ramifications. We're going to do a little bit of a catch-up. It occurred to Tom, the executive producer, and then to me when he brought it up, it's true. A lot of folks don't entirely grasp how the play-in works. And we're at a point now where not only should we just give you a reset on that, we're starting to get a picture. It's not set yet. But we're getting close to a picture of what the matchups are going to look like. And it again reinforces the fact that Adam Silver and the NBA crushed it. Just incredible foresight. Because every single game for the next couple games matters. You do not in the West or in the East want to be the sixth seed. I'm talking to you, New York Knicks. So we'll do sort of a reset on where the NBA is and maybe explain a little bit how this play-in works and why it's incredibly significant. MLB power rankings will be later this hour. It's tough. It's a tough one. Where do you put the Dodgers? A team that can't seem to find a way to win series, but are still statistically dominant. And there's nothing more charming, right? Nothing cuter than a child bursting with confidence that they have not earned. Love it when my son Henry tells me that he's the smartest kid in the world. And he's going to, and I'm going to quote my son because, you know, parent of the year here, kick my ass in tennis and so on and so forth. It's just, it is freaking adorable. It becomes less enjoyable when it's a grown man like James Harden. And we're going to get into that childlike belief that James Harden has in himself. And we're going to throw this bucket of cold water, this thing that we like to call facts, right in his beaming, I'm better than everybody face. Pretty excited about it. But let's start with we got some NFL news. You know what? NFL is still the big dog. But I do respect that some of the other sports have made it so they've got to work a little bit harder to crowd their way into the ecosystem Oh, sports talk radio, sports fans, all that good stuff. NFL schedules out. A lot of takeaways. We're going to hit them throughout the show. If you've got a perspective, 855-212-4CBS. Brutal start for the Kansas City Chiefs, by the way. Brutal start. But the real interesting stuff that pops off the page here are a few revenge games. And this is one of those things that the NFL gets. And I wish the NBA would lean into this more. I think Major League Baseball, and I've talked about how much I love baseball and the degree to which I think it is ineptly managed by Mr. Manfred. Human beings not liking each other, a certain level of confrontation, of anger, of simulated physical violence, of real physical violence. UFC is a huge sport for a reason. A list just came out of the world's top earning athletes from the past year, right? Lionel Messi's number two on the list. LeBron, number one, Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor, not even the best fighter on earth. Hasn't been for a minute. But he represents brashness, entertainment, and physical violence coming together. Human beings like conflict. We like confrontation. We like a way to channel our anger, to prove which of us is bigger, better, stronger. It's what makes sports great. You can do it in a much healthier way than Gangs of New York, right? This is a good evolution from let's get some sticks, get some nails in them, and see who comes out. That Anchorman scene is funny only because it's fictional. That escalated quickly. Well, it's going to escalate real quickly in the NFL. There are some amazing hatred games. That's what it is. Can we not pretend? Don't buy this garbage you're going to get from Bill Belichick. You know, it's just a game. And just Bill Belichick, who I like, and I've talked about having some personal experiences with, and it's been great to me, and I think he's an amazing, amazing coach. But you know and I know that he's going to weep tears that soak his pillow if Tom Brady comes out at age, you know, octogenarian, whatever the hell he is, 44, when that game rolls around, and just beats his, I'm just going to quote my son one more time. I'm sorry for the swear word. Beats his ass. Cannot wait. Sunday, October 3rd, 8:20 Eastern, 5:20 Pacific. I already put it on my calendar. I'm in my 40s now. I got to pretend I'm organized, right? I got stuff on my calendar. Literally yesterday said land from LAX, and then, you know, the next half hour was drinking boots on. And they were. Bear with me today. John, can't believe you're moving to Austin. Lost your damn mind. It's LA. It's amazing here. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, week four is going to be one of the must-see sporting events of the year. It doesn't matter if the overassessment and the silly rendering of an entire career in the mind's eye of people like you and people like me is forced out there because of one game. That's what we're going to say, and it's what it's going to feel like. If the Patriots put up an amazing game plan, and really, we don't know. I don't know. I don't think Bill Belichick knows what his quarterback situation looks like from the dude he drafted to the dude that he kept around, both how they're going to perform in the short term and who's going to be the starting quarterback week four. Week four really is that transition period for young quarterbacks for all the reasons you know. If you've just been lying to yourself or everybody else and pretending that, I don't know, let's come up with a name, Andy Dalton, excuse me, I apologize, again, goodbye party, Andy QB1 Dalton, you've been pretending he's the guy, that's a natural transition. It's also enough time to make some evaluations, lose some games, and be like, oh, shoot, this dude does suck. Wow. I guess the media does sort of know what they're talking about. Who knows what the quarterback situation is going to be like in New England? And I'm not under any belief, I don't have any confidence, that if that Bucs offense is ripping and roaring and Brady looks amazing, that the Patriots have a chance. I think the odds are the Bucs are going to beat the holy snot out of Belichick and crew. But last year was a weird year. Smart people have come on this show and other shows and talked about the folks who opted out in New England, the talent drain. Bill Belichick didn't just get to draft a young quarterback. He got to use a whole bunch of free agency money, and did he spend it. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between a drunken sailor and a genius. I didn't know which one Elon Musk was 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe Belichick's put together something where he's going to come out with that old hoodie genius, that old hoodie brilliance, and they're just going to put a defensive, tactical beatdown on Brady. And lest you think it's impossible, just friendly reminder, Bill Belichick has been the architect, not Tom Brady, the architect of destroying narratives of unstoppable offenses. That Super Bowl against the Rams, where I always want to say the final score was like, you know, 6-1, even though you can't do 1 point in the NFL. I think it was actually 12-6. That low-scoring, grinding, ugly affair was a thing of absolute defensive football beauty. Sean McVay is a genius. Passing of the torch. McVay is the new Belichick. And it was Bill Belichick, not Tom Brady, who changed all of that. Now, we know now that the reins that were put on Brady, the lack of trust in Tom Brady, the inability for the Patriots to both be defensively excellent and let Tom Brady be Tom Brady is why he's down in Tampa Bay throwing Super Bowl trophies from boat to boat. But that's going to be a matchup in which each of these guys, because they're prideful and they didn't like each other and they have history, each of these guys are going to do everything they can to be at their best. Because it's not even, I won't even pretend that I think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are playing against history, are worried about the judgments of time, or are wondering to what degree this does or doesn't chisel a little bit more of their face on Mount Rushmore. That's not it. They don't like each other. It's going to be personal. It's going to be the opposite of The Godfather. You know, Michael always told people it's not personal, it's strictly business. That wasn't true with Carlos at the end. Get him a drink. Brady and Belichick are going to make it personal, and it's going to be absolutely incredible. And I'm not even sure from just a pure revenge situation that's the best game on the schedule. Because both those guys are made men. They are. What was the old thing when baseball decided it wanted to shoot itself in the foot on its, you know, its biannual basis? One of those lockouts, billionaires arguing with millionaires. I got Hall of Famers arguing with GOATs. I don't, one of them's going to lose, but they've already won everything. That's not true for Jared Goff. And really, Sam Darnold, we talked a lot about this, I guess, yesterday on the show. But the Jared Goff, and for me, it's not even Jared Goff versus Matthew Stafford. This is later in October. I think it's the 24th. That game is Jared Goff against the organization that told him a few years after that Super Bowl appearance, we don't believe in you, we don't want you. Look, I know Matt Stafford is an amazing talent. The stats are incredible. He's a likable guy, and he's been paired with McVay. But I'm not going to get to a place yet where I'm 100% convinced that it's going to work in L.A. I think it'll work. I wasn't driving the plane. Don't worry. I was flying back last night, and I had my window down for most of the flight. And I decided to put it up as we were landing. And just the side of the airplane that I was on, you know, if you're the direction you're facing, I'm on the left side. I'm facing south. And I've never seen this view before. I look out, and there's SoFi Stadium, the new Ram. And it is beautiful. Beautiful. And it occurred to me the level of pressure that is on Sean McVay this season to live up to everything that goes in to not just where he's at in his career and the all-in decision he made on Matt Stafford, which, by the way, I think is the right decision. But it's only the right decision if McVay's the genius. How many guys have we seen? How many coaches have we seen take a team to a championship, right? Get to a championship, be celebrated, and then not get back. Great coaches have done this, and failures have done that. Hell, Gruden won one. Gruden's the guy that had one greatest hit that's still playing sold-out Vegas shows because the owner of whatever casino was such a fan. Maybe they're not even sold out. I'm not sure I'm convinced that McVay's the guy. I think he is. I believe in it. I've been told to believe it by smart people. But if it turns out he was the problem, right, you can be smarter than the game. You can think you're smarter than the game. You can outthink the game. You can have such a handle on something that it's not a grip. It's an iron fist that's suffocating the life out of the thing you claim to love. Jared Goff has a lot to prove in that game. Jared Goff could bring that McVay narrative to a crashing halt, especially if the Rams play so-so down the line. Man, I don't got a problem with Sean McVay. I want Bill Belichick to crush Tom Brady. I do. I like Belichick. Really want Darnold to just beat the crap out of the Jets, which, by the way, and we talked about this, he has to. I mean, there's just two things that have to happen. He has to play well, and he can't bring his mother to the press conference beforehand. Those are the two. Man, I actually feel bad when I make his mom joke, but just you can't bring mom to those interviews when you first break in the league and not be successful. You can do whatever you want. That's the thing, right? It's like RG3 statue at Baylor. Why don't you put in a few years before we do the statue thing? Why don't we just wait? Patrick Mahomes can do whatever he wants. He literally, it doesn't matter. He can bring his, I don't know, does he have a kitten? Let's just say he does. He could bring a kitten to the press conference every day and say, Purr will answer that. And then, like, talk in a cat voice. You know what doesn't matter? That. Because he's Patrick Mahomes. He can do whatever he wants. Darnold, not so much. I'm still rooting for him. And I'm rooting for Jared Goff. Talent requires its perfect or near perfect component on the other side of the equation to be successful. That is true in everything in life. And I didn't realize that when I was younger, right? We all think that we are the captains of our own ship. We're the masters of our own destiny. It's not true. We talk so much about luck and how it matters in sports and life, but some of that luck is just being paired with the right people. Good boss, good career. Bad boss, often a bad career. I'm not sure Jared Goff had the right bosses there. I mean, we know Jeff Fisher was a disaster. But the thing about McVay is you can get so addicted to success, you can be so obsessed with getting your fingers nearly on the prize, that if it gets pulled away just because, you know, Bill Belichick's good at what he does, you can overreact, you can overcompensate. Be a lot of fun. I mean, Cam Newton at the Panthers is a good one. Feels like they've kind of moved on. Jameis Winston playing at Tampa Bay is a great one. And it's only great. I mean, it's great. The thing is, some of the sting is taken out. Tampa Bay doesn't care. Like, oh, that's just that cute. The guy's got a little job or a little starting. They got a Super Bowl trophy. They're good. But Winston's got something to prove. And he's got to make it to that point, by the way. He's got to be the starter when that game rolls around. And then DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt versus the Texans would have been an amazing game. Would have been an amazing revenge game if the Texans weren't an actual moral and just functional dumpster fire. Remember that scene in Back to the Future where Marty gets out of the bully's way and they have a bunch of manure fall onto the car? I want you to picture that manure. Now take the human beings out of it because that would be real dark. But I want you to picture a huge thing of manure in a dumpster and then that set on fire. I've never even used this term. It's rare. It's a one every 10. What's going on with the Texans is a manure dumpster fire. So, you know, Hopkins and Watt are already probably enjoying it. They've got their chairs, right? They're drinking their drinks. They're downwind, so, you know, they're in the right spot wind-wise. Downwind, upwind, I don't know. Not very smart. And they're just watching the manure dumpster fire that is the Texans. All right, 855-212-4CBS. I just all day. I'm not going to. Promise myself I wouldn't go through the entire. And then in week 11, the Bears play the Colts. I'm not going to do it. I want to do it. I'm not going to do it. Let's get into James Harden. There's just certain ages where things are, you know, that were cute aren't cute, right? Like I saw a kid yesterday on the airplane kind of pick his nose. I was like, oh, you know, a little 3-year-old. And he's like, oh, that's cute. Oh, you give him a Kleenex. Not cool if he's 13. Really gross if he's 33. Someone's got to get to James Harden and tell him that acting like my 8-year-old and saying he's the bestest of the bestest in the world and something he's not good at is not a good idea. And we're going to get into that next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, what's going on? Happy Thursday. Bill Ryder with you. It just felt right to be back in an airplane. Just felt good. I'm from the Midwest. Mom's from Jersey. Dad's from Iowa. And I don't know why, but I'll look out a window. It is true. I'm not just making this up. And I'll see farmland. I'm like, okay, cool. Pennsylvania, wherever the hell we are. And then I'll see farmland. Like, oh, I'm over Iowa or thereabouts. Yesterday happened. Kind of know the time. Looked at the old little plane thing somewhere between Minneapolis and Des Moines. Fly over this beautiful country. It's amazing when I fly how many, like, I've lived there. Lived a lot of places. And it was great being back in New York City. It, When I'm in New York, I feel like I've never left, and I belong there. When I get back to L.A., same exact thing. It's like Andrew Bogish. You've never met him, but when you meet him for the first time, is this my brother? Is this my grandson? I think I was the granddad in some conversation. I don't know. It's a lot of magic going on. You know what's not magical? Grown-ass men not getting it. Just not getting it. Look, I'm good at certain things, right? But I'm bad at it. So I'm never going to come on the radio and tell you I can dance. Can't do it. Not good at that. Pretty good at being a dad. Pretty good at recognizing how amazing Andrew Bogish is at life. He's doing dad stuff right now, and I love everything about that. It's okay to struggle. And by the way, the only way you overcome the things that you're not good at is you work on them. I've told this story a lot. I won't bore you with it, but one of the moments that changed my life was a TV audition at FS1. Not because I did a good job, but because I was so bad, I almost wet my pants in front of a bunch of adults. Famous adults. The thing that made me, you know, able to come back the next day and do well enough that things went in a better direction was I realized I was terrible. Beyond terrible. It was a very humiliating experience. You got to be able to understand that having the ability and the talent, but not finding the way to execute in these tough moments is a real problem in everything we do in life, right? All of us, except for Bogish, were probably a little nervous of the ladies when we were 12, 13, 14. I got a buddy who was nervous at 25. You don't just say, I'm never going to date anyone. I'm going to live in my basement alone. You just like, I'm going to keep doing this and keep failing until I figure it out. It's okay. It's okay to be bad at stuff. If you recognize that you are. James Harden is this really interesting paradox because, and I don't want to exaggerate this because we are in an era of some of the most talented offensive players we've ever seen. I mean, the most talented, I'm just talking pure offensive players we've ever seen, right? Wilt's in the conversation, though. You don't know where to rank him in particular because of the level of competition he played against and his size advantage. Shaq's in the conversation. Jordan is the North Star of that conversation. I would say Larry Bird is in that conversation. Magic's a little bit different player, right? And so is LeBron. Offensive, you know, amazing offensively, but amazing at everything. Kevin Durant might be, for me, number two as a pure offensive player, though I think Steph Curry's a conversation you have to have. And James Harden's on this list for me. You know, of 10 or 12, however you just pure offense. And this is not a slight. This is not a backhanded, but they couldn't play defense because some of those guys, Jordan could, right? Some of those guys certainly could. And watching Harden play, I find to be joyous. And I'm amazed by people that can take what shouldn't work and make it its own foundation for success. The folks who break the rules, not because the rules don't make sense, because they don't make sense for them. We're not in an era where ball-dominant players, high-usage rate players, tend to have massive team success. I mean, Kyrie can make his money. I might go down the whole list, right? But Harden was a little different. Russell Westbrook's great statistical player and not worthy of the level of praise that other colleagues of his around the league are. Because it's a success-driven business. It is. It's a success-oriented business. Harden's different. I've seen him in regular season games that are important, have a usage rate of 44%, take three-point shots where 2.5 guys are guarding him, like what happens with Steph, and you look down, he's got 14 assists in that game. It's not his inability to do it, because he is transcendently, overwhelmingly talented at scoring. And the thing, and it's one of the sort of, on that razor's edge of greatness is you have to be able to be a team player, right? You have to move the ball and a team has to be in rhythm to win a 7-game series. But you also, you require players that in those clutch moments, in those difficult moments, can go and create their own space against defenses that are locked down with the pressure pushing down and get buckets. It's one of the reasons, and I like Philly. I got a text today from a colleague who said, who's the worst matchup for the Hornets? The Nets or the Bucks, and I was like, I think the worst matchup is the Bucks because the Nets can collapse. But like, then he asked me about Philly. I'm like, Philly's the better of those three teams. I just don't know if they're the better team in the playoffs because I don't know who's going to go get buckets. Who's the star that's going to go get buckets? James Harden should be that guy, right? And the problem with Harden is he's all the good things that I've said, and he's literally designed to win you playoff series. He should be a better playoff player than Kyrie Irving and almost good as good a playoff player as Kevin Durant, because he has the ability, unlike Durant, to put up those massive numbers, to hit those shots, to destroy the box score, and to look down and be like, oh my God, the guy also had 11 dimes. He can get guys in rhythm even while having this crazy usage rate, but he can't do it in the playoffs because he's a complete choke artist. And that's a thing that's happened. And as someone that has choked away a career opportunity, got lucky the next day that I was better, I understand that the stuff's not easy and get in your head. I got it. But I'm not going to pretend he's good at it. He has shot his team. Not even shot. The guy becomes he's a fourth quarter coward. And I don't say that lightly. Outside of him having a blankie and going underneath it in the half court offense, I've seen everything from James Harden. What are you, Linus? No. He's turned his back to offensive plays. So I like that he came back. It's cool that he played well. I think he had 18 points in 25 minutes. It was crazy efficient. He looked like James Harden. He also looked a little like James Harden when he came over from Houston. But, you know, get on the Peloton. You got a couple weeks. It's fine. Not judging. But you can't come out and sing your own praises and act like you've been the same player in the postseason that you clearly are in the regular season.
Not really. Not to, like, brag or anything, but I'm, like, I'm really good at this game. You know, I study the game. I'm very unselfish. I take the game, and I play it the right way every single night. So I don't try to do anything that I can't do or anything that doesn't benefit our team. And if that mindset right there keeps me in a really good place.
I like James Harden. I don't even want to do this, but I'm going to. The only thing he said that was accurate there is I don't try to do anything I can't do. Right, like winning the playoffs. I got it. I've seen that. You literally don't try. That's part of the problem. I got to tell you, I'm real great at this. I'm amazing. Reminds me of when I went to the writer reunions when I was a kid, and I would play my uncles when I was 12 or 13 and all these, whatever. We play tennis. We play eight ball. We play horse. We play one-on-one basketball as a whole A-type. So the convention for A-type men. It was a real experience. And I would be pretty good at some of these sports, right? I'd be 13, 14, 15. They'd be in their 30s. And we would play, and I would play really well in the beginning, and I would always lose because I would buckle under the pressure because my uncles would crawl in my brain. They taught me how to do it, though, so thank you, Uncle John, Uncle Bob. You know what I didn't do at dinner? I didn't speak because they told everyone how they just destroyed me emotionally, mentally. I was like, I'm better than you, even though. No, man, there's a scoreboard. James Harden, there's literally a scoreboard. Don't come back from injury with an uncertain team and tell us that you're amazing. Come back and say, it feels great to be here, and here's the deal. Didn't get it done where I was before. I got to be at my best. I got to be ready to go. I got to help carry this team. I'm on a team that can help carry me. We're going to go far. We're going to have magic, and I got to be the best version of myself. This insecure, we know how good you are at basketball. You play in the NBA, man. You know, it turns out I think I'm going to have a career. No one's debating that. This is like the beautiful woman who's like, do I look fat? Shut up. Like, I'm over that. When I was 22, like, oh, that's such a great question. You're so funny. No, shut up. You're a model. You look fat. You look thin in your brain. Not a lot up there. James Harden, bro, it's not cute. It's not adorable. You're not being all candid. You suck in the postseason. Figure it out. All right, 855-212-4CBS. By the way, unbelievable. My buddies last night, guys, took me out and like just kept ordering drinks. And I laid down the challenge to Bill, Dom, and John to call 855-212-4CBS. And I just want to note, like James Harden in the fourth quarter, some fourth quarter cowardice going on. Heard a lot of, I'm going to call in. I'm going to give a take. Cool, bro. Coming to the arena. The water's warm. Fourth quarter cowards. Pulling the James Harden on me.
Definitely both still asleep.
Oh, no, they're texting now. Oh, they all just woke up.
Oh.
I've been up for a minute. Been up for a little while. Bogish, I think we missed each other the other night at the bar. Did I go to the wrong spot?
Yeah, you went to the wrong state. You went to Connecticut and ate pizza. You left me in Manhattan by myself.
It's my bad. Everybody is telling me that I should have said Sally's is better than Pepe's, by the way.
Is that right?
Like all these New York. But in my defense, I had an entire Italian meal and an entire Pepe's pizza by the time I got to Sally's. Sally's amazing. It was just, you can have the most exquisite food on earth. If you don't want to eat anymore, it's not pleasant. I had this experience. I'm going to name drop. I had this experience with Andy Roddick and Brooklyn Decker. They took me to dinner in Austin once, and I was full, right? I'm full. And he's like, eat that shrimp tempura, whatever. I'm like, no, man. And Brooklyn Decker's like, eat it. I'm like, okay, sure. I must have eaten 11 rolls I didn't want. Because when Brooklyn Decker, you know, it wasn't like, eat it. It was, eat it. I'm like, okay, sure. Of course I will. Of course I'll eat
Anything
it.
Anything else I can do for you?
Yeah, it's a name drop. It's been a minute since I told I told my boss this story. This is like when he didn't almost kill us. When the Tesla started driving, I was like, oh, you know, when I farted on Brooklyn Decker's story. He's like, what? Like, yeah, I've told you this story. It's like, you didn't fart on Brooklyn Decker. So I told the whole story, which I always do. And then as always goes, my boss like, look, I like you. That's a lie. So I'm like, there's a tweet. She tweeted about it. And then he turned his whole body away from, you know, away from the microphone, away from the wheel. Ah, Tesla's driving. It was very, very scary. That was a direct correlation. It was eating all the sushi I didn't want to later having a terrible Brooklyn Decker moment that she tweeted
about. No, I don't know the story. But how are you on her to do anything on her?
See, that's why I think it's super unfair, the whole characterization. We're in the backyard. Here's a very let's just do it. Here's the very short version. I had a lot to drink and a lot of sushi. And Roddick's over there all sloppy. He actually is like screaming at a buddy of mine. They made like a $5,000 fantasy bet with my buddy Reed Ford. They didn't even know each other. Like where we wouldn't make the playoffs. And so I had to manage this team for Reed because he kept making these terrible, because he couldn't afford $5,000. His wife almost divorced him over the bet. Like literally almost divorced him. And I'm like, you can't. And then Roddick's like, I don't care. So I had to. So Roddick's over there screaming at Reed. They're like, you know, because we're all so drunk. And we're out in their backyard, their home in Texas, and I am in a chair, and she's an inch away, right? Because it's loud. They're out in the wilderness, so there's crickets, you know, chirping, and there's Roddick is screaming, and the fire's blowing in the wind. There's wolves howling. It's all happening, and it just, and we're talking, having this conversation about children, right? Because I love my kids. She loves her kids. I just met their kids, so we're just hanging out. I think at that point they just had their son. And I swear, like, I'm just like, I'm not going to go in there. This is a gross story. And destroy the bath. I'm just going to, like, gut it out. And then they'll send me to the guest house, wherever the hell I'm sleeping. And I'll be fine. And you know, 3 a.m, I had to pass some wind. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just good. And it just happened. But the problem is, this is so true. At that this exact moment, Roddick decided to take a breath. My boy Forgrave must have taken a breath. The wind stopped. The fire died. The wolves decided they were like, we're going to go somewhere else with other watering hole. And all the cicadas and crickets were like, oh, I guess if we're being quiet, we'll be quiet. So it just happened. And I decided, I actually heard George Costanza's voice. I'm like, I'm just going to like, it's like going back to work if you get fired. I'm just going to pretend it didn't happen. So I just keep talking. And she's like, stop. And I just like keep talking. She's like 2 inches from my face, right? We're like leaning. She's like, did you just fart on me? And I'm just gonna keep rolling. And she goes, something, I don't know. She's like, no, 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 no. Did you just come into my home while we're talking about our children and fart on me? And I'm like, yeah, I did. And then the next thing I know, I wake up in the guest room, horribly hungover, and I'm like, oh God, what a weird why would I drink my fart on Brooklyn Decker? That's so weird. And I get up, you know, I go to the bathroom, like, stretching, like, you know, take like a 5-minute pee or whatever, like, I'm tired. And I look at my phone. This is back when I had, you know, if you got a Twitter mention, I would get a text message. Right? I have like 2,000 text messages. I'm like, oh no, did something bad happen? I don't have the tweet up. You could Google just Brooklyn Decker sports writer fart. It comes up. And she had tweeted about it. I don't know if it was Variety wrote about it. Like, somebody wrote about it. So, I mean, just people are texting me. I haven't heard from in years. Like, hey, bro, it's Chuck. We sat next to each other in math in high school. You're a loser. You farted on Brooklyn Decker. Hope you're good. You know, like, it was the worst. Do you have the tweet? That's my story. I tell this story, like, every 6 months.
Oh, that's
I can
amazing.
Find it if you can. I think it's in my search algorithm. I tell this story amazing. At parties, and nobody believes me. Brooke on Decker, Twitter, sports writer.
I mean, nobody believes you. It is like the least flattering story of all time. Like usually when you make up a story about yourself, it's like something that makes you, you know.
No, a terrible story.
Yeah, that puts you in a good light. Not, I haven't been, not like this.
I haven't been invited back to the Roddick house either.
Yeah.
Might be. Here it is. Like, you ready? Here's her tweet. You guys ready for this?
It's going to be easy. Oh, I just found it too.
You want to read it? You can read it. I don't want to read it.
At SportsWriter just farted on me. We were deep in conversation, and he said he didn't think it would make a sound. It did. It made a sound. That's the tweet. April 4th, 2016.
She's even cooler than I thought she was.
She's cool, amazing, dude. They're both. Oh. I mean, it's such a name drop, but they're just great people. They're great. I you know, Andy and I hated each other. That's the only reason I think we're probably friends. It's like, you're stupid. You're dumb. On the air. Yeah. It's not the only thing that dropped, unfortunately. That's the only thing. My God.
I guess it could have been worse, right?
I don't think it could have been. I mean, I guess I could have crapped my pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. That.
That not,
it could have been much worse. Didn't,
well, that's
didn't
a big
get
jump
the
from a 9
invite.
To a 10 on the embarrassment scale. I would still sign up for a fart in a second.
I think I was covering the final four. I was like between, I had driven. Definitely in the morning, it was a, hey, nice to see you. Take care kind of vibe. Like, okay. And then all these clothes here, I know we got to go. So I still see them sometimes. And I saw Brooklyn at one of the Super Bowls. And she brought someone with her. Some teenage girl was like, they were doing some cause. And I was doing the HQ show live. And I've seen them since. And then just like when we were live on the air, she I asked her a question. She goes, now I'm going to tell the fart story. And then just told the whole story. And this 13-year-old girl started crying. She was laughing so hard. And I can hear the whole control room in my ear like, you're a loser. It was just like, cool. Get to relive this forever. And I think she like gave me a hug. It was like, that's never going away. I'm like, awesome. Good to see you. Thanks for that, Brooklyn. All right. It's my name drop. Let's do a... I'm going to put my head down in shame and just contemplate never eating sushi again while you do your update.
Fair enough. The Yankees had lost 5 of 6 meetings this season, 18 of the last 23 with the Rays, but now they're 2-for-2 in Tampa Bay. A 1-0 win last night as Gerrit Cole K'd 12-for-8, allowing just 4 hits, all as the Yankees deal with 7 COVID positives among coaches and staff members.
There's a lot going on today, and it's a bit challenging to get focused, I guess, for the game. You know, but once you're there, it's kind of business as usual. So I try to keep that mindset all the time, and I think it's helpful when there's a little bit more.
Shortstop Gleyber Torres held out last night as well as a precaution. The Yanks have won 4 in a row overall now. A 5-game run for the White Sox after a 13-8 decision over the Twins. Minnesota has dropped 7 of 8. The Dodgers have back-to-back wins for the first time in 25 days. A 7-1 final over the Mariners last night. And the Phillies outlasted the Nets 5-2-10. Washington has dropped 7 of 8. The Lakers remain a game behind Dallas for 6th in the West with a 124-122 escape from the Rockets. Kyle Kuzma scoring the winner with 6 seconds left with LeBron and Anthony Davis out. The Hawks claimed their playoff spot by fighting off the Wizards 120-116. And the Celtics 102-94 loss in Cleveland gave the Knicks their spot. Boston officially stuck in the play-in. The NFL giving us a Christmas doubleheader for the first time in 4 seasons. The Packers will host the Browns 4:30 Eastern. Colts Cardinals at night. Christmas is a Saturday this year. The Packers reportedly adding Blake Bortles to their QB room. And the Man City Chelsea Champions League final is now in Portugal on May 29th. It was supposed to be in Istanbul, but the UK will not grant any waivers to its travel ban to Turkey over COVID concerns. Bill, back to you.
Yeah. I get it. Never gonna look at me the same. All right. I think I got buddies calling in, taking up the mantle. We'll see how that goes. 855-212-4CBS. Take some calls. Oh, yeah. Dom in LA is going to be on the air. And then I was going to do MLB Power Rankings, but maybe I'll just like bask in my shame. That's all coming up next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Oh, welcome back into the show. Told you that last night went out with some of the guys. A little goodbye party. One of the boys moving to Texas. There's always a ringleader. There's always the bad guy who's like, let's just do a pitcher. Showbacks. That'll be fun, Ryder. Knowing, then I lie, right? Like, oh, I'm not gonna go. Okay, cool. And an hour later, drinking that beer. That guy's name is Dom. And he's now Dom in LA on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, you're awake. Hello, Dom.
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Good, good. Just telling a little Brooklyn Decker farting story and how much pain I'm in this morning.
That.
How you feeling?
I heard that. How's that Fanta shot treating you a day later?
You're a bad person. You're an evil genius.
Well, so, Bill, I wanted to call in to, first of all, I heard you were telling people we don't call, so I wanted to call in just to disprove that. But also, I wanted to ask you about your tennis game. You talk a lot about Andy Roddick. Have you ever played him?
No, I've got a $500 bet out there that I haven't executed where it's a set and he plays with a frying pan, but it feels like a trap.
Nice. Well, I hear through the grapevine you're vulnerable on your backhand, so you got to be careful about that.
That's why I choose partners very carefully who have even worse backhands than I do.
Nice.
Thank
very
you.
Good. Very good.
Do you want to bring up whether or not I heard that maybe you wanted me to speculate on the guy that I'm playing today at
Let's hear it. What do you think?
4:30. I mean, he's pretty good. His last name backwards is Mod, right? If you like Mod in L.A. First name, you know, little same name as you, same person as you.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I mean, like last time I played him, I beat him 6-1, 6-2. That was, you know, felt like I should have won a little more handily, right? Like, felt like there was a lot of anger on his part. So I think he's really going to be bringing it. I think that if he doesn't get an early lead, though, he could really just collapse emotionally.
I don't know, Bill. I don't know. Now that you've locked it in on the radio, I think you're going to be obligated to announce the score tomorrow after the match.
When you 6-1, 6-1 me? That's not cool, bro. The beauty is I can lie. I won't do it. I mean, have I won 9 of the last 11 against you?
Certainly not.
Oh, you sure? Oh. I got the count wrong?
Certainly not. Are you allowed to tell blatant mistruths on the national radio, Bill? I don't know about that.
I mean, I can't remember that. I feel like the last one I got you 6-1, 6-2, though.
I confirm in front of all your listeners that is true. You beat me 6-1, 6-2.
I feel like I think you're gonna win today. I'm not feeling well, my back hurts. I think you're the front runner.
Oh, this is the lowering expectations thing.
I mean, last time I was I'm putting Dom on hold. Dom, thanks, buddy. That was good. I was coming from Jim Rome. See, this is where I want to lie and say on the radio that I've beaten Dom like 15 times. But actually, we're pretty evenly matched. Now, Dom, who's probably always gone, used to just kick my ass on a regular basis when I first met him. Tables have turned a little bit, Tom. Turned a little bit.
Sounds like it.
I did send a super obnoxious note to the guys because I just felt like it. Because he never brags when he beats me. He brags to me. He'll get a little smile and be like, oh, that's a great match. You know, you played well. I'm like, thanks, man. It's 2-6, 2-6. Thanks for the compliment. But I did send the guys a little note like, hey, let's be easy with Dom. It was a rough tennis outing this time. He doesn't like to lose, so I feel like maybe it's coming.
Well, he's right. You better update us tomorrow on the results. You better be honest. He better be listening. He'll call in. Now that I know who he is, you know, if he calls in, I'll put him up.
You've got a promise to come visit LA this summer. Like, you know, everything, travel being possible. You and I got to get a little tennis on.
Sure, yeah.
A little grudge match.
I don't think it'll be competitive, but...
Play for some money.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. Play for money.
Man, I'm I hope Dom's not... I'm going to crush him today. I'm just going to destroy him, I think, today.
Yeah, this is why we're not playing for money.
I'm playing so good. We'll see. I haven't played in a few days. I've said this on the air, I love beating successful, A-type, super in shape dudes, and this guy qualifies. And he's a friend of mine. But this guy's like, he's the Peloton guy who, I don't even do Peloton, who like has to be in the top percent, right? Like, I guess there's a competition that goes on in Peloton. He's that dude.
I couldn't pretend to know about Peloton culture.
Yeah, it's a thing.
That's how Stu lost. Right? Bogish has got one, right?
I mean, he's got the glow up.
Yeah.
Stu's got the glow up. My boy Dom, he's got the glow up. Everybody that has the Peloton has the glow up. Everybody's losing weight in my world but me.
There's the secret. We figured it out. That's the key. That's the through line. It's the Peloton.
It's like a Stephen King novel. It's the opposite of thinner. I'm taking their weight. They're losing weight, and it's transferring directly to me. Oh, and to James Harden. I take it back. It's mostly transferring to James Harden. Yeah, mix in a donut or a salad. I don't know. One of the two. I'm so good. I got to be honest. Or we're being honest now. Cool. You're fat. Lose some weight. You play in the NBA. All right. 855-212-4CBS. What a weird week. He's got buddies calling up, challenging me on the air about Dennis. I like it. Let's do some NBA talk. We'll catch you up, and we'll start to turn our eye toward these playoff matchups when we come back next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Good morning. Welcome into the program. Bill Ryder with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Phone number on the show, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Buy or sell at the end of the hour. I watched two and a half movies yesterday. Flying from New York to L.A. is a long ways. I lived in Iowa. I had no idea where anything was. Still don't. Turns out New York to Los Angeles, California, not close. I got a classic, modern classic that holds up. I got a highly celebrated film in the last year that was amazing. And I got one we won't even talk about. It was just fine. We'll do some movie talk in a little bit. By the way, we just, in the first hour, for just joining you, ended up telling the name drop Brooklyn Decker, Andy Roddick, I farted on Brooklyn Decker story, which became a phone call from one of my buddies, one of my good friends leaving California, going to Texas. And a group of us, four of us went out, kind of a, it's not even a goodbye, it doesn't leave for like 3 weeks. I think we're going to do a goodbye like every other week. But it's a goodbye dinner. And my boy Dom, who I play tennis with, called in and basically, Dom and I play tennis pretty evenly matched. He got real mad when I crushed him the other day and ate his soul on the court and then shared it with the boys. And he kind of threw down the gauntlet. And one of you tweeted, Fresh Prodigy tweeted at Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Anyone know where I can bet on a Sports Writer versus Dom tennis match? I want to put $1,000 on Dom to win. I mean, I got to tell you, dude, if you want that action, you tweet me back. And I will try to see if there's... Yeah, the problem is you have to find somebody who wants to bet $1,000 on me. So if anybody's out there, I'm probably not allowed to facilitate gambling, but you got, you know, there's a Twitter thing. You guys can probably, you know, amongst yourselves. Somebody get, you know, DraftKings or FanDuel on the line. We got a new category. Tom, how long will it take you to get to a Jersey sports book and see if they'll like set up the action? Hour drive?
Yeah, I could do it inside of an hour probably.
Because you can't just cross the line and then make the bet. Look, I love California. California, what are you doing? Get gambling going. Here's some breaking news for the superstar civic leaders in California. We're already gambling. We're all doing it. I'm going to make sports bets probably today. Totally legally. I'm going to drive myself to Vegas. Wink, wink, or not wink, wink. I don't know. Sure, I will. Just get the tax revenue, man. Get the tax revenue. All right. If anybody thinks I'm going to beat Tom, coming off my flight from L.A. or from New York yesterday, my total exhaustion, the fact that I have meetings all day today with NBA folks after this, like bopping around in an Uber around L.A. to meet with people, and I'm going straight to tennis on no sleep, if you think, that's a recipe for success, this guy's Twitter handle is PizzaMan925, at PizzaMan925. Not only does he gamble a lot, he loves pizzas. Every time he eats one, he changes his handle. Tomorrow will be PizzaMan926, probably. So here's how it occurred to me, and Tom, you mentioned this. I think you're right. I'm not sure everybody fully grasps how the play-in format in the NBA works, because it is a little counterintuitive. You would just kind of think that it would be, you know, as simple as a little tournament. Here's how it works. In years past, as you almost certainly know, and still this year, 8 teams from the East and the West, respectively, make a best-of-7 series, and you got to win 4 of those series, 16 games, win an NBA championship. This year, though, they're going to allow the 9 and the 10 seeds to have a chance in the Eastern and the Western conferences, have a chance to be one of those two spots. Here's how it works. If you finish 7 or 8, and right now, by the way, and it could change, a huge win for the Trailblazers last night, huge win against Utah, and frankly, a little bit of a shocking win for me. If things hold as they are right now, you would have the Warriors playing the Lakers in the 7-8 situation. And I think either of those teams can actually make a run in the play. Clearly the Lakers can. I think people are sleeping on the Warriors a little bit. So if you win that play, and we're just going to presume that the season's over, even though it's not. Say it's the Lakers-Warriors. Winner of that one game, right, that one game is the 7 seed. And the chance to play Phoenix potentially sets up an upset. Now, I'm high on Phoenix. I told you here on the show before the season started that the Suns were going to be a top 4 team in the West. And I still think that they are formidable in these playoffs. I just think Chris Paul's found the perfect instrument for his irascible, unlikable, phony, but very talented career arc. This is his opus. It is. But there's not a lot of playoff experience there. Whoever wins that playing game has a chance in that series, potentially. Here's where it gets confusing, right? That one's pretty intuitive. Let's say the Warriors win that game, right? Let's say the Lakers lose that game. Set them aside first. They're going to go play one more game. But first, the 9 and the 10 seed play each other. The loser of that game, you're out. You're done. You're what you should have been all along. You suck. You're not good enough. Goodbye. Enjoy golf. But the winner of that game, right now it would be Memphis, San Antonio. Let's just say that Memphis wins that game. They would then play the Lakers. They play the loser of the 7-8, and then the winner of that game is the 8 seed. So if you're the 7 or the 8, you just have to win one of two games, and you're fine. If you are the 9 and the 10, you have to win two games to get in the playoffs. Love the format. A little confusing. But what it's done is it has made the NBA to a degree, feel, certainly more than any other American sport by far, it feels the way that soccer feels, the Premier League, La Liga, at the end of the seasons. Because as you know, or maybe you don't know, if you're and I'm a La Liga guy, but whatever, Premier League, La Liga, trying to get in those top 4 spots for Champions League. You're trying to get another spot or two, depending on the league, for Europa League or for group stage in the Europa League. You're trying to avoid the bottom 3 to be relegated. And then for smaller clubs, there can be some pride. Like if Leeds, for example, is top 8, that's a pretty amazing accomplishment having been relegated last year. The NBA kind of feels this way now, right? There's all these tiers. Certainly you want to be the 1 seed. That's always been true for Philly, for Utah. They can hold on. Home court advantage throughout the playoffs is huge. And Milwaukee has not been as good this year at home as last year. But last year, before the pandemic, Milwaukee was almost unbeatable at home. Philly is that team this year. And if you're Philly, if you're any of these teams, hell, if you're the Nets, you don't want to run the risk that home court advantage is going to lock in for a place like Milwaukee where we've seen it before. And you also have these really interesting battles in avoiding the 6 seed. And again, the 3s can change, but in the Eastern Conference, Philly's going to win that conference. Brooklyn and Milwaukee, and Brooklyn's up a pretty good amount. They're almost, I think Brooklyn has to lose their next 2 and Milwaukee has to win. But you don't want to play either of those teams. You cannot be the 6 seed. If the New York Knicks are the 6 seed, they're going to lose in 4 or 5 games. I'm just telling you right now. They are. If you're Milwaukee, I actually think if you're Milwaukee, man, I'm going to insult Knicks fans. I don't want Miami. I want nothing to do with Miami. And they're up at the 5 now. And this is probably wrong, but I think it, so I'm going to say it. I don't want to play Atlanta. I don't want to play Atlanta if I'm Milwaukee. Not because I'm going to lose the series. But I just think the way they've played since they made a change at head coach, the defensive effort that has come out for that team, and the reality is Trae Young can win games. Trae Young can just go off and he can win games. Julius Randle can't do that. He can't. You've got to avoid that 6 seed. If you're the 4 or the 5, you can beat Atlanta, Miami, New York if you're one of those other 2 teams. I want Knicks Hawks so badly, because they're so opposite. They're so different. They're both organizations that have huge aspirations in the years ahead, and winning a playoff series is really big and really important. That Knicks loss to the Lakers in overtime wasn't just brutal in terms of seeding. It should be an eye-opener to why you have to have doubts about the Knicks' ability to be serious contenders in the playoffs. And I think there's a lot of teams that are going to be in the six range that are going to be serious contenders. Had Jaylen Brown not got hurt, I still think Boston had a 10% chance to be the Boston of last year for it to click in. That's over. That's over now. They're seven at the moment. But Denver could make a run. They're the four in the West. I think Portland, if they get the right matchups, could make kind of a run like a couple years ago. They're the five right now. The Mavericks are kind of a mess just compared to where we thought they'd be this year. And Luka Doncic probably shouldn't be accidentally groin-punching guys. Ask Draymond Green, that tends to end badly, not just for the guy you've groin-punched or kicked, depending on the situation. This one's a groin punch. But Luka Doncic is one of the five most important players in the NBA. And I know that he can single-handedly carry a team because I watched it happen last year in the playoffs. If you're Dallas, man, you got to fight like hell to get to that 4-5. Same thing. I don't know what to expect from the Clippers. I really don't. They have let go of the rope a little bit offensively, but they're still an amazing offensive team. They're not historically great. They're not even the best offense in the NBA right now. And that's been somewhat of the story in LA when people deign to talk about them. But defensively, the Clippers have really found their groove. And Paul George has been amazing. Paul George, though, is like James Harden. And he did the same thing recently. By the way, not just making fun of Paul George did a week or two ago. I'm so good. Dude, you have to do it in the playoffs. And I don't. History tends to repeat itself, but not everyone is destined to repeat their mistakes. Can Harden be better? Maybe. Yeah, I don't know if he will. Can Playoff P actually be Playoff P and have that nickname not be a terrible joke? Playoff P, giving yourself that nickname is the equivalent of giving yourself a prominent tattoo and spelling something wrong. The joke's on you, bro. But you can change. He can change. So if the Clippers are formidable as we think they are, you cannot be that six seed. Whoever falls to the six in the East is going to lose to Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee's the best team in the Eastern Conference. That's not true. I think Philly's the best team. I think Milwaukee's the best playoff team in the Eastern Conference. I also think all of the following teams can make the NBA Finals from the East. Probably in this order. I think Milwaukee can make it. Clearly they can make it. Philly can clearly make it. My skepticism has a lot to do with their half-court offense, Ben Simmons' inability to shoot, and Doc Rivers' postseason realities. More 3-1 collapses as a head coach than anyone in the history of the game. More 3-2 collapses as a head coach than anybody in the history of the game. That's a problem. But they're so talented, and teams break through. Philly, Milwaukee, of course the Nets. The Nets are so interesting. They're just, I don't know. I'm with Howard Beck. I don't think it's gonna work, but I know that it can. I think Miami can make the finals. I don't think they're going to make the finals, but I think they can. And I think Atlanta is capable of winning a series. It shouldn't. And I think the Knicks, if they don't play the three seed, are capable of winning a series they shouldn't. And the thing about the Knicks that I think is really interesting, and part of the reason that they could be really important in this playoff run, just not for their own benefit, is there is going to be this, there's going to be injuries in the postseason. You're going to see the postseason get locked, and you're going to see critically important guys get hurt. That's what every GM I've talked to has told me, that this rash of injuries isn't going to go away. You're going to have a whole bunch of twists and turns. And what you don't want is to play a really physical team that slows the game down, that plays great defense, and that might make you earn a 5 or 6 game series victory that feels like 8 or 9 games. Man, I cannot wait. Lakers-Warriors as a play-in game? Hell yes. I'm an NBA geek. I'll watch Boston-Charlotte and be interested. Charlotte's interesting. Even the Wizards, that was a terrible loss yesterday, are really interesting. The way that Westbrook puts up numbers the way Beal has performed in general. Be a lot of fun. Tom, do you want to give a... I always ask this of NBA guests, and it's super unfair, and I hate when people do it to me because I don't know the answer. But if I right now was super unfair to you and said, executive producer Tom DiBenedetto, give me your finals matchup. Just give me the two teams in the finals. What two names would you give me?
Bucks Lakers.
That's probably the right call. I'm going Bucks Suns, but I don't. I mean, hell, Utah, Denver, the Clippers, Phoenix, the Lakers, and the Warriors. None of it would I know what I said with the Warriors. None of it would utterly shock me.
No,
because
I totally buy the wide open thing. I'm with you. It is as wide open as I can. I can't remember a year. Maybe the year the Mavs and Dirk won. Was the last time there was truly heading into the playoffs we didn't quite know at least one side of the coin. And I say Lakers giving LeBron the benefit of the doubt. That's all right. that is. I mean, that's a blind guess at this point, and there's plenty of reasons to doubt that. So, yeah, I mean, the Suns, I think the Jazz maybe would be my runners-up out of the West, but we haven't really seen it from them yet. And the Bucks is kind of just, you know, we've talked a lot about it. I agree with you on all this, too. They're the team that's been through the process. The Nets have not been through the process. The Nets are trying to tell you that they're great before they've done it yet. The Bucks have learned the lesson. They know they're not great because they've failed, and that's why I think they're dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on all that. And the Lakers, and just to give some respect to the Western Conference, the Lakers are the seventh seed right now. They're 40-30. They would be the four seed in the Eastern Conference. I mean, the West is really, really good. Really good. The problem for the Lakers is even if LeBron and AD are healthy, if they're healthy, they are the favorites against the Warriors in a one game. I know, I've watched a ton. But can LeBron impose his will on Steph Curry? Yeah, probably 7 out of 10 times, maybe 9 out of 10 times. But there's a percentage that's bigger than it should be because Steph Curry can go out there and he can score 55 points. He just can. Lakers are really good defensively, but that is an amazing series. All right, I could geek out on this all day.
They are tremendous defensively, just to jump in the last.
The Lakers?
Yeah.
They're tremendous.
Last thought on LeBron and the Lakers in general. So with all the missed time of the stars this year, that's the most dangerous thing about them. Think about last year's team. They could not have survived 40-30 to this point without their two guys, you know, missing so much time, being unavailable for so much of the season. The supporting cast of the Lakers and the defensive, you know,
I think it's Frank Vogel. Yes. I mean, I'm not going to put him on my ballot because you only get three. But if you got five, I would think about it. I'm sure I get ridiculed. I would think about it. They played – that roster's a bunch of bumps.
Exactly. Even with LeBron and AD out of the lineup, they still play top-of-the-league-level defense, and I think that is the part of them that I'm scared of. They're a better team than we realize. They've just been disjointed. If they can get it together, they're still the best team in the West.
The problem is they're a bunch of – and Schroeder's out too. They're a bunch of bumps. I mean, they play great defense, and I love the energy. They have to – and Anthony Davis – I can't go too long, but Anthony Davis is not – a superstar who can carry. He's not. I've seen that Pelicans team. Anthony Davis is Scottie Pippen. He's amazing. He's incredible. He's great on both sides of the ball. He is a necessary superhero along with, in this case, LeBron James. But you take him and put him on his own, the captain of his own ship, and it's that Portland team when Scottie went. No, it's not. No. It has to be LeBron and AD. It has to be both of them. And that's what's amazing about Steph. The Warriors have almost the same record as the Lakers. And, yeah, AD and LeBron have missed time, but there's also both those guys in that team for, you know, one of the two guys for all but, what, 20 games? 15 games of the year. Steph has carried the Warriors. Draymond Green's not very good anymore. I know he had a good game the other night. All right, 855-212-4CBS. We'll keep the NBA talk going and a little movie talk. A modern classic that holds up and an amazing movie. Edgy. Tough watch. You should watch it. We'll talk some movies next year. On CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the program. Saturday on CBS, PGA Tours in Texas with a fantastic field, including the world's number one golfer, Dustin Johnson, competing at the Byron Nelson Championship. Live coverage begins at 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, Saturday on CBS. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. I think one of the things that I love about flying that I missed is that for me, you get to fly above your life, right? It's almost a parallel perspective on your life. You're removed from the phone. You're removed, in my case, from your wife and kids, who I love dearly, but you get, my bosses can't reach me. You just have this break. And I just, there's something about on a long flight, just watching a bunch of movies. And maybe it's because the movie going experience has gone away. So it's the only movie watching experience that I now do that feels remote from my home, right? It's fine. It's cool to be like, get on your phone and watch whatever. It's not a movie theater, but it's just, it's an event for me. I love getting on the plane, getting some work done, flagging down the flight attendant, trying to give her the secret code that I'm going to drink a lot. So it's okay to just keep bringing the Bloody Marys. It's fine. Keep them rolling. I got a credit card and watch some films. And I saw two movies on the plane yesterday. One that's new and highly celebrated. One that's a classic. And the reason I watched Wedding Crashers, you might want to get that name drop button ready, Tom. I think I told this earlier the other day. But I was walking a week ago through the part of L.A. I live in, and there's just Vince Vaughn. And I used to see Vince Vaughn everywhere. Seems like a nice guy. Try not to bother him, right? He's living a normal life in my community. And I used to love those movies. I don't think I've seen Wedding Crashers in 5 years or 10 years. And I thought, I wonder if it holds up. Andrew Bogish, Tommy Benedetto, every scene, every moment holds up. Some of these movies don't. It might be one of the three funniest movies I've ever seen in my entire life. Am I right in assuming that each of you have seen the film? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Multiple times.
I had a conversation with Stuart Kovacs. I saw Stu on Sunday in New York. And I think I brought up this Vince Vaughn, like, seeing him on the street. I think it was Vince Vaughn. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And I go, yeah, you know. And I just looked at him. I go, can you name a single Vince Vaughn film? And he just stared at me blankly. And finally said, no. So I just want to make sure that you've seen it. I don't want to prejudge you. Not in trying to insult you. Just want to make sure, you know, we're on the same wavelength. Amazing movie. Very light, very funny, great. Then I watched Promising Young Woman. Have you guys seen this movie?
I have, yes.
I have not.
Wow,
very good things, though.
The general premise, for those of you that it's dark, I'm just warning you right now, it's dark. I don't want to ruin it, but there's a, as you might imagine, promising young woman, and this is all like, none of this is on camera. There's no flashbacks. That's the other thing, Bogish. I thought it was all flashbacks. Basically, you've got this 30-year-old woman who works at a coffee shop whose life sucks because something awful happened as it relates to assault years earlier. And she is sort of flirting with this sort of revenge thing where she pretends to be drunk to see who will take advantage of her. And then I won't say kind of where it goes from there. But it is the end. So I don't want to say too much, but it's one of the better endings for me of a movie I've seen. But I could see where people could hate it.
Okay, good, because I hated the end. I thought the end was such an annoying letdown.
Wow. Like the last scene.
Because it's not feasible to me. It's not possible what happens at the end. You can't make that happen.
Yeah.
So that's why I can't believe it.
I watched it four times. I literally just kept rewinding and watching it again. And so we won't give it away, but Bogish and I are obviously on different wavelengths here. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was so good for however long it is, for the first, you know, if it's 2 hours long, I thought it was so good for the first hour 55. And then, like, the last 5 minutes happened. And, like, you want what happens to happen. It just can't happen the way it happened. And that drove me nuts.
We're going to have to agree to disagree. We can't really get into the details here. Can't really get into the details.
Did you cry, Bill?
I always cry on planes, but I didn't. I've talked about this. NPR did this amazing, not fresh air. What's the American whatever? The guy who does all the, has the really high voice and tells these crazy stories. Apparently, like, A-type extroverts cry on planes all the time. Not this time around. I don't think. Don't think there was a Tide commercial that just, like, got me. But that's not a cry movie. That's a holy bleep movie. That's a holy bleep. I just said that we're on the radio. I lost my job movie, but I'm not even mad at myself because that's the holy bleep kind of moment that it was. And it made me realize I just miss movies. I also watched The Gentlemen. Is that what it's called? The Guy Ritchie movie. It's got Hugh Grant's in it. Matthew McConaughey's in it. The really attractive actress from one of those English period piece shows that my wife watches and I can't remember. Downton Abbey. Not Doubting Abbey. I'm not doubting a person. It's a home. Downton Abbey. And that movie was just fine. But it made me realize how much I miss movies. And I never thought I would go back to a movie theater. And I got off the plane and I realized I'm back. Like, when I feel comfortable, when they're back, I'm going to movies because I think it's a nostalgia thing for me.
Movie theaters are great. And in fact, I drove past one last weekend and was like, same thing. As soon as I feel good, I don't have to, you know, there's almost no rules, no mask. I'm good. Like, we're all back to normal-ish. That's one of the first things I'm doing because I love seeing a movie in the theater.
There's something about the movie theater. And again, I'm not saying I hate my family. I love my family. But it's amazing to watch a film and know that you've also carved out time for yourself, even if you're sitting next to someone. What makes a movie a terrible first date idea is what makes an amazing I've been married a long time idea. Like, I love you, but let's together enjoy the next 2 hours. We don't have to hear the sound of each other's voices.
Just literally black out everything else except the screen from my life right now.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, on the plane, I had the noise cancellation, right? No one can reach me. I was going to go to sleep. I was so tired. I landed. And Lori's like, I'll drive. She picked me up at LAX. I'm like, oh, no, I haven't had anything to drink. She's like, really? I'm like, oh, yeah. Joe, did you take a nap? No. Why didn't you take a nap? Because, babe, I got to escape you for, you know, if I love you, but three movies without you and the kids.
You were just in New York for 4 days.
Oh, you say potato. All right, let's I'm a real class guy. The last 2 hours, I've just
husband.
Been... husband of the year, and if you're Andy Roddick, friend of the year, friend of the decade. Let's hey, you know what? You're leaving me in the trenches here throwing grenades, Bogish. I'm gonna do nothing but Wedding Crasher lines for the rest of the week. That's only tomorrow though. I thought it was Monday today when I woke up. It's good stuff. Let's do an update. What we got? I'm excited.
Well, as you discussed in hour one, James Harden, not that surprised that James Harden played so well last night, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists after missing 18 games with that hamstring injury. His head coach, Steve Nash, a little more impressed.
I'm not saying he's firing on all cylinders. I thought it was pretty impressive. So pleasantly surprised. You could see where there'd be more rust, but, you know, he's pretty sharp, played well, obviously impacted the game greatly, so really impressed.
128-116 win over the Spurs gets the Nets within a game and a half of the Sixers for number one in the East. The Hawks and Knicks clinched playoff spots last night, while the Celtics are now locked into the play-in thanks to a 102-94 loss in Cleveland. The Cavs had dropped 11 in a row. No LeBron or Anthony Davis, but another Laker win, 124-122 over the Rockets. That's 3 in a row. L.A. stays a game behind the Mavs for 6. The Blazers stay at number 5 with their 5th consecutive win, 105-98 in Utah. Heat guard Victor Oladipo opting for season-ending surgery on his right quad tendon. He has been out since early April. Maybe, just maybe, the Dodgers are getting healthy.
He swings it, hits a high drive to center field. Lewis going back to the track. Lewis looking up and is gone. A home run. Max Muncy. Maxwell swinging the silver hammer again tonight.
That's Tim Nevrit on Dodgers Radio. Muncy powering a 7-1 final with the Mariners. LA winning back-to-back games for the first time in almost 4 weeks. The Rockies dropped the Padres 3-2-8 to split a doubleheader, and the Cards' 4-game run ended in Milwaukee 4-1. The Astros used 5 homers to beat the Angels 9-1, and the Tigers sent the Royals to their 10th consecutive loss 4-2. The Champions League final has been moved out of Istanbul. Man City and Chelsea will now play in Portugal on May 29th because of the UK's travel ban to Turkey. The Pac-12 has reportedly hired a new commissioner, but we don't know who it is. Apparently, it is not not Oliver Luck. And Mike Pulisky has stepped down just 10 days after being promoted to Northwestern AD. There's been strong backlash to the promotion because Pulisky is a defendant in a federal sexual harassment lawsuit filed by a member of the school's cheerleading squad. And checking on round one of the Byron Nelson, Rafa Cabrera-Bello has the lead now at 6-under through 14 holes, one shot clear of four others. Sergio Garcia in a group at minus four. Bryson DeChambeau is 1-under through 11. Brooks Koepka even through 11. Jordan Spieth tees off an hour from now. Bill, back to you.
Bogus, we haven't done the whisper phone in a long time, but I actually have a whisper phone question for you. The gambling insider that you purport not to be but have a connection to. We all think it's you, but, you know, it's sort of like Magnum P.I., right? Is the butler the guy that owns the house? I don't know. I was seven when I watched it. My point is this. We have someone who'd like to make a bet, a $1,000 bet on my buddy Dom to beat me in tennis later today. Does the whisper phone want to take some action on this guy, double thumbs point at me, yours truly, the host of the show?
Yeah, see, the whisper phone normally doesn't turn action down, but this is a little too far off the grid for the whisper phone to get involved. There's no, you know, there's no background info. There is no track history here. We don't know about court conditions. I don't even know who your friend is. I've only seen the top third of you for the last, you know, 18 months or so. So the whisper phone just, this has got to stay away from this.
All right. Would you like to take that action, bet on me, and solidify our friendship?
No, thank you.
The level of belief that it would take. I've got his Twitter handle. You can make a cool grand.
No, thank you.
All right. The brave, courageous, and loyal Andrew Bogus. At Andrew Bogus on Twitter. Let's do buy or sell. Bogus just sold me, so we already did one. But let's do some more buy or sells next here on CBS Sports Radio.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill, let's circle back on that Matt Harvey return to Queens yesterday. It didn't go very well in a baseball sense, but it was an emotional and rewarding experience for the fallen former Mets ace in total. Harvey experienced multiple standing ovations over the course of the afternoon and afterwards reflected very honestly about it all.
Many ups and downs here at this ballpark and with this organization that you know, I didn't really know what to expect, and what they gave me, what the fans gave me out there was pretty incredible. I was holding back tears. I'm not going to lie about that. It was pretty hard holding them back, and it reminded me of, you know, a lot of the good memories and coming off the field with, you know, an ovation like that. It brought a lot back, and it was very special to me. Something I'll never forget.
Harvey did have his worst start of the season, but he entered the game pitching the best he has in years. He hasn't made more than 12 appearances in a season in three seasons. Buy or sell, Harvey makes it through the All-Star break as a regular in the Orioles rotation.
So I found his response really genuine and cool, because he wasn't a good guy with the Mets, but a bad guy is a little strong, probably where I would have gone, but right close. Truth is that people are really complicated. I was talking to you yesterday in New York, which is weird, Tom, about a colleague who's a well-known media person who just lost themselves in their fame, right? It happens. It doesn't make this person a bad person. I know this person. We're friends. It just makes them a human being that succumbed to something that people do. Same for Harvey. I don't know him, but it seems like. And so that emotion, the fact he got lit up, which is funny, but over the overwhelming thing is just how well he played up to that point, and the way that those fans embraced him has me feeling that I want to lean into some optimism and some hope. And so I don't even know if I believe it, but after how gracious those Mets fans were, I'm going to buy it today.
Buy.
I hope so. By the way, good for Mets fans. Like, that is pure class.
We love the dude. It went real bad, but everything he said there is true. He was not the best, but I don't think he was a bad guy. He just lost his way, and it looks like he's got it back. He also physically looks great. One of the things I always was frustrated with him is just he kind of carried extra weight. Didn't look like he was working that hard. He looks physically scary. So I think he might stick.
I'm not making excuses, but you know, this will be true in Vegas, and it's always been true if you play in Miami, if you play to a degree in New Orleans. Like, there are places, Miami's the big one, where there can be like, oh, you just got caught up in the lifestyle. As someone who worked nights in New York City, whose brother worked nights, my brother Bobby, someone who traveled a lot, covered NBA games for years, and went to New York City a lot, because I like New York City, and would go out. I mean, you can do anything in New York City at 5 in the morning, including get into a whole bunch of trouble if that's what you want to do. And I could see where that would be a city, and it's a seductive city, but it, unlike Miami's different. You can, I've lived in Miami, I've done that lifestyle. You can go out to 5 or 6 in the morning and still sort of function. There's something about New York that does, if you don't take care of yourself, New York will beat you up. And you don't even realize it till it's too late. So I'm sure in a lot of ways, it was not just the natural seduction of all the things, the trappings that come with having been Matt Harvey in New York, but the fact it was in New York. It's not a good place to lose yourself. You lose your way.
New Broncos quarterback Teddy Bridgewater joined our guy Brian McFadden and his podcast partner Patrick Peterson on the All Things Covered podcast, and boy, did he get honest about the Panthers' practice habits.
I'll just say this, for Joe Brady's growth, I think, man, like, that organization, they'll have to, like, just practice different things, you know, in different ways. Like, one of the things we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice 2-minute, really. We didn't practice red zone, you know,
what?
So...
The most important thing.
What? That's what you used to have a whole day devoted for 2-minute in red zone. That's Thursday practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I guess the game is becoming about science, you know, and trying to keep guys healthy. So, you didn't practice on Fridays there, but you walk through like the red. You walk through the red zone stuff, and then Saturday you come out and practice red zone, but you only get like 15 live reps, and guys' reps will be limited.
Matt Rhule did confirm that he heard the clip, and he didn't deny any of that. He simply said he was disappointed Teddy wasn't a believer in the team's practice structure. Buy or sell, this anecdote makes you worry about Matt Rhule.
Buy, and I tried not to overreact today. But you heard those guys' reactions, right? That is a significant thing, and I think the real concern is, and Brady is a highly, or was a highly celebrated talent too, but being promising, being good at something, just because you get there doesn't mean you've arrived. And that's something I think people miss all the time. A lot of people get big opportunities and fail. And the ability to take with you what got you there, but be open-minded enough to grow and hear people, that's hard, especially in the National Football League. And so my main concern is if that's what's happening, to the point where Teddy Bridgewater feels like he should be talking about it on a podcast, and that coaching staff, headed by but not exclusively Matt Rhule, don't get it because they're not listening, that doesn't bode well for a guy that's transitioned from the college game, for me. And doesn't really bode well for the young quarterback they brought in who's looking for a second chance.
All right, the Packers have added a quarterback, something we knew was coming since their current rostered quarterbacks are Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. That's it, just two. But their choice was not exactly a hit on the optics front. Blake Bortles is headed to Green Bay after spending the last 2 seasons with the Rams and briefly in between there with the Broncos. He has not started a game, though, in the NFL since 2018. Buy or sell, Blake Bortles will ever see the field in a regular season game for the Green Bay Packers.
I mean, I disagree with you, Tom, and all those fans. I would trade Aaron Rodgers now. Now you have Blake Bortles on your roster? Trade A-Rod, just give him away. Second-round pick. I mean, you have the Blake Bortles machine? I mean, my God. These guys are brilliant. No wonder they don't care. They were able to get Blake Bortles? How about Blake Chortles at the fact someone still pays him?
Bye.
God, will he see the field? Sure. That's all. I'll fall apart.
Bye.
Blake Chortles to the fact he still collects an NFL paycheck.
Blake Chortles is good.
Not bad.
Is that new?
I found it.
Wow. That's been there all along.
It's always just been
and
inside.
I never heard
I didn't
it before.
Know. Yeah.
Blake Chortles. That's perfect.
Not bad.
All right. I'm using that. Here on out. It was a good news, bad news kind of 48 hours for the Miami Heat. First, they clinched an outright playoff berth with a huge win over the Celtics on Tuesday night, but then yesterday they lost any hope at seeing Victor Oladipo return for the rest of this season. The veteran guard has opted for more surgery on the same right quadriceps tendon he injured back in 2019. The Heat have been all over the place this season, have never quite captured the rhythm that saw them surge to an Eastern Conference championship in the bubble last year. Buy or sell, the Heat will once again be a better team in the playoffs this season.
I mean, it really comes down to the matchup, right? If they can hold on to that five seed, I'll buy it.
Buy.
So, the Oladipo news is significant, but it's not surprising. This is the way that it was going to be, and I think that they've known that for 3 weeks. They've known. I'm just a believer in Jimmy Butler, and that's why I got Chris Paul and the Suns. I don't know what they're going to be, right? But the Suns, I'm talking about the Chris Paul in the playoffs, but you could have made the exact same argument for the Heat last year. Well, they got Jimmy Butler. With all these guys having really a playoff, they made the finals. When you have a veteran leader with a young group that buys into what he's selling, especially when it hasn't worked other places, right? Just the right general of those young troops, we've seen it work. It absolutely can work again. They are built for the postseason if, and this is what hasn't happened this year, some of those young guys who are able to be offensive dynamos just in games here or there, right? Not every single game. They just give a little bit of offensive support to that half-court offense, and really pressure-time offense can go out and get some. Just got to be able to score in those moments. And I don't think Jimmy Butler's enough on his own.
All right, so you already referenced this list earlier. I figure we'll just go through the whole thing now. Yesterday, Forbes put out a top 10 highest-paid athletes of the year across the planet. Number one, Conor McGregor, $180 million. Number two, Messi, $130 million. Number three, Ronaldo, $120. Number four, Dak Prescott, $107.5 million. Number five, LeBron James, $96.5 million. Number six, Neymar, $95 million. Number seven, Roger Federer at $90 million. Number eight, the driver, Lewis Hamilton, at $82 million. Number nine, Tom Brady at $76 million. And number 10, Kevin Durant at $75 million. I guess it probably wouldn't surprise anybody listening to that that Dak Prescott caused the most controversy, being fourth on that list. Buy or sell, Bill, you are as surprised as everyone else that the Cowboys quarterback is the top American athlete on this list.
I'll buy it. I shouldn't be surprised.
Buy.
But when you see it, right, in the context of everyone else's salary, let me ask you this. Buy or sell that Ronaldo is a bigger waste of his money than Dak is of his?
Sell.
No way. Not sure exactly what's going on in Juventus, and I don't really, support them, especially now. So I'm not exactly upset about it, but no, I can't be on board with that.
Yeah, the Dak thing is, the fact that he makes more money than LeBron James is just stupid. Let me ask you this: buy or sell on the open market, if he's healthy, LeBron James, I'm just talking his salary for an NBA team. If it was like soccer, you pay whatever you want. Buy or sell, his salary would be over $120 million.
No salary cap, too.
No, none.
Buy.
It'll be whatever he says it is. So if that's what he wants, that's what he would get.
Be like Messi.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to write a number on a napkin. Try not to choke. I have it in my account by Thursday. Good work by Tom DiBenedetto, the executive producer, producer_Tom. Good work by Andrew Bogish, at Andrew Bogish. Thank you for listening. My name is Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You. We appreciate you. Sports Ryder, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Man, almost Friday. Little weekend coming up. Bumble the week tomorrow. Think about your nominations. Hit me up with them. Sports Ryder, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Thank you for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio.